Middays with Mannix and Mannix. We're rolling through our Heidi's Brooklyn Deli lunch hour on this hump day Wednesday. The season concluded for the Maine Mariners in the ECHL last week. A seven-game second-round series against the Wheeling Nailers, but a record-breaking season for the Mariners. 42 wins, their most ever since joining the ECHL. Here to wrap up the season with us, the head coach and general manager of your Maine Mariners, Rick Kowalski. Rick, thanks so much for being here. Sorry there's no Eastern Conference final appearance, but it was certainly a great season, and we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, it was. It was, there was a lot of positives. It was a lot of fun. I think myself and the players kind of go back and forth, and some days you're like, you know what, we did a hell of a job, and then other days you're like, I wish we were in Florida right now, or actually coming back to Maine. We'd
yeah,
probably
right.
be looking at game four or five right now. So, but it was a good run, and just, you go through your year-end meetings and stuff, and you realize, you know, even more so how close this group was and how much they really enjoy coming to the rink, being around each other, and then obviously, you know, doing what we did.
Yeah, and obviously, as we've talked about, a lot of superlatives for this season. Most wins in franchise history in the regular season, most points in the regular season in franchise history, and obviously the first ever playoff series win that happened this year as well. Certainly a lot of firsts, and this was your first year in the organization. So as somebody who did come in from the outside at the start of the year, tell me a little bit about kind of, you know, your view of it now that that first season is done and what all was able to be accomplished with all those injuries at times and yeah. you know, with all of the trials and tribulations the team had.
Well, I think part of, you know, me coming here and the Payne family, the ownership group, I've said extensively all year, you know, the more and more I talk to Dexter, coupled with the fact that I love the city of Portland and Maine, and I played up there, and then the third part of being able to have full control of the team. Those were the three, kind of a perfect storm for me to get back there. And, you know, Dexter made it clear he wanted to raise the standard professionalism, obviously play, everything that goes along with it. And, I really kind of enjoyed accepting that challenge, and with his support and the support of the fans and the organization, like you just mentioned, we were able to kind of, like I told the players, we've now set the bar for how I feel we should be. And I think for me, as a coming into this task with some of these things I just talked about, to be able to have a first year like that, and to your point, under some of the circumstances we went through, is a heck of a start. And I think any players coming back here certainly are excited about that and understand that. And any players that leave, or either or, they're leaving here with their impression, whether they're coming back or potentially going to Europe or something, is going to be nothing but positive. And to me, word of mouth in this league, sometimes I told a lot of our guys, your players are your best recruiters, right? Because guys talk.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the whole group here, again, don't want to keep emphasizing it, whether they're here or not, I think the impression that they have, if they hadn't been here before, when they leave, is going to be exceptional. And that's a huge boost for our organization as far as getting players to come to Portland.
Yeah, and definitely want to expand on that because I saw that. I think I saw them over at AEW Live. Looked like they were all still enjoying themselves a little bit of the postseason, which is awesome to see that they've built those kind of bonds that lasted even right immediately after, and they were all clearly enjoying each other's company. But I want to ask about Dexter. You mentioned him, and Jeff and I had the opportunity when he took over to talk with him here in the Big Jab studio, and you could just tell right off the rip. He was very genuine, and he really wanted to elevate the level of hockey that was being played in Portland. How has this gone with him, and do you really believe this is probably just the beginning? As you mentioned, the bar is high, raised, but it feels like if anybody can also match that within the organization, it's this new owner. I mean, what has Dexter been like, and do you feel like his goals are really starting to come to fruition here in just year two of his ownership?
Yeah, no question. And like I said, he was obviously, I don't want to say a huge part of selling me on it, but once I got to know him and we had a couple of formal interviews and then just, you know, conversations, I knew that I was going to get total support, and this guy was wanted to win. And again, it's not just about winning hockey games. He wants to build the brand. He wants people in the building. He wants community relationships. You know, he's with the Hearts of Pine now. Like, it's not just what was unique about him. It's not just about, hey, we want you to come in. You got a lot of experience. I want to win hockey games. It was more about just completely transforming the organization. And there's still things that we need to work on, but and we're looking at. And now, you know, I'm kind of involved a little bit on that side of things now that the season's over. Obviously, recruiting players is right around the corner and certainly a priority. But, you know, just the overseeing some front office stuff and really, you know, expanding my horizons as far as marketing and branding and, you know, brand management, all that stuff. So it's more than just about winning hockey games with Dexter. And I you know, he knew that I certainly love the city. Like I've told you guys, one of the best places for sure, top of my list that I played. And he feels the same way. He goes, he's up at games all the time, loves going down the old port for dinner and lunch. And I just think that passion from an owner, and such a successful businessman, it's to me now that I've got, I don't want to say a full year into this, not quite, but a full season, obviously, and now a full summer. It's about the organization as a whole, the community, together. And I just think, you know, sky's the limit for, what we can do here, obviously, because of, you know, just with his support. I know the players saw it and feel the same way, and again, that separates you from a lot of teams in this league.
Yeah, certainly does. And I'll kind of ask a little backward looking question here now that the season is over. I mean, I'm sure there are moments, I'm sure there are certain plays that kind of jump out for you as kind of maybe the real memorable ones from your first season as Maine Mariners head coach. Are there any for you that kind of spring right to mind as kind of the moments that you feel like defined this year?
There was a lot of good ones. I mean, obviously, I talked about the Pirates night. I don't think they're defining, but I think, again, going back to, you know, marketing and getting more fans in the building and the support and kind of bringing those two worlds back together was unique. I just think some of the wins we had certainly have to include the ones in the playoffs at Cross were unbelievable, and just with the crowds and their support. But for me, you know, there was really a couple. I think it starts, which I've talked to you extensively about, right in around the first week of February, when I was able to make that trade for Zach Jordan and Antonio Venuto, and they both came in really what we were looking for, size and just heavier players. And I remember we took 5 out of 6 points that weekend, all three in Reading against a pretty good hockey team, and really never looked back from there. We looked it up. Our record was ridiculous since picking up those guys. And then shortly after that, we go on the road trip from hell down to Florida. Down to Florida, and of all places, ironically, we start an 8-game road winning streak, and I believe whatever it was, 11 or 12 in a row overall, and we start it against the potential, you know, Kelly Cup champions who are now up to 2-0 in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, that stretch as well. And then for me, I think also Arvey's play during that stretch with Cav being gone.
Yep.
Was unbelievable. And then the last one for me is probably just getting, you know, Sean Element playing 8 games for us, playing the rest of the game, rest of the year in Milwaukee, playing in the playoffs in Milwaukee, and then called me I don't think he was even on the bus yet when they got beat out in Milwaukee and wanting to come back. And to me, that was obviously, he was huge for us in the playoffs, certainly the first round. Coming into that series already, you know, underway. And just to see a guy like that who I think prior to this year had only played not even 10 games in the East, they shall want to come back here because of the organization, because of the teammates, because of the way everything went this year, and he was barely a part of it. So that and that was, like I said, those are probably, like, for me, those are all really – key points in the season that really allowed us to have the success we did.
Yeah, and I'm interested, too, to kind of expand on that as well, because I mentioned I saw the boys there at AEW. They looked just like they were having a blast, bonded. Was there a moment this season where you saw that group, whether it was on or off the ice, come together like that for the first time, where you were like, man, these guys actually want to play, not just for me and for their paychecks, but for each other?
You know what? I don't know that there was a moment. Again, I go back to that road trip, obviously, and get stuck on the road, you know, 5 days longer than we should have. And instead of flying back to the Northeast, we got a bus, and you know, we don't even have equipment. We got to meet our equipment in Glens Falls. I think that certainly had a part. To be honest with you, though, I've said this to the players at the beginning of the year, and certainly guys I've brought in, I'm a big believer that, you know, yeah, you need good hockey players, you need fast, you need toughness, you need speed, you need skill. But if you start with the person first and the character of that person, there's some good players that we passed up on or moved on from because they weren't, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, kind of the standard that I wanted to set. And it starts with the character of the person. And I think, from top to bottom, we just had some great, character people. I've never been a part of a team where I said this to our staff, where I've had to let guys go and leading up to the playoff roster, make hard decisions. And those guys left with saying nothing but thank you. I understand. I love what you guys are doing here. I love the way you treated me. And you're like, you almost feel bad because it is a business, but nobody left with any negative impression of the place, the team, the ownership, the city. And I just think overall our kind of leadership core and the guys we've got in, they bonded right away. These guys lived together. Obviously enjoy the city together, as you've seen that they, a lot of them didn't want to leave. I'm like, you guys got to get out. That's the rules. You got to leave. But they did. They wanted to stay together as long as they could. And I've had other teams at other levels, even the ECHL level, and the season ends and they're like, can't wait to get home to see my parents and my girlfriend or do whatever. And these guys, a lot of them stayed right through the weekend, and some of them still might be there. We're going to have to double check and kick them out. But I just think it was a special group, and I think these guys they bought in so much, and when they saw success, and anytime you have success together, and we had some bumps in the road, but you know, you just come together even more when you believe in what you're doing and believe in the guy sitting next to you.
Yeah, and you mentioned they did have the Maine Mariners title belt that is, I'm sure you're aware of, because they had that there. But on top of that, too, I told Jeff this, one of my favorite parts about watching back the show, you'll be happy about this, and the front office will be, too. If you didn't watch the AEW promotion on HBO, Coach, the Maine Mariners, like, logo, the name, the branding, it's, like, everywhere in the background when they do these promos. So you guys must have been happy as hell, too, on the promotional side, that you guys basically got free marketing from AEW with them being in the building. I saw so many Maine Mariners and logos in the background. I'm like, oh, that's great that people are going to see that and hopefully in some ways influence them as well to buy some gear. But I feel like you guys had to be happy to see your name all over HBO despite it not being related to hockey.
Yeah, no question. Obviously, that goes back to the branding and the marketing side. I think I would have loved to have gone. I had my son was graduating, so I was racing to Long Island right from Wheeling, the way it worked out. And but the guy said they had an unbelievable time. And didn't one of the guys, somebody come out with a Mariners jersey on?
Yes. Scotty Too Hottie, who actually grew up in Westbrook, which is right next to Portland.
Yeah,
so, yeah, he did.
That's unbelievable. See, I'm getting chilled. I got back for season-ending meetings Thursday night and into Friday morning. And Jacob, a couple guys are into wrestling big time. And I honestly, I hadn't got into it since the old WWE. I think it was still, I don't know if it was WWE, but ironically, my last year in Portland, we had a whole group that got together every Monday night to watch it. And that was D-Generation X and whatever. And half the team was on one side, half the team was, I think it was just an excuse to get together and have a couple beers, but the whole team got into it. And we had got a couple guys that are big time wrestling guys. I said, geez, Jacob Hudson's one of them. I said, how is Huddy? He must have been on top of the world. And one of the guys go, I think he almost cried.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. And you seem to be very happy in off-season mode right now. But as you said, you're going to start focusing on recruitment, et cetera, for next year. Where is the mind? Like, when does your brain start to go towards next season? There's a schedule out already and the whole bit. But how soon do you start kind of, looking at building the 26-27 roster?
Pretty much right away. We obviously start to kind of compile a list. I think the biggest thing is going through your current roster, and it is what it is at this level. Like I said, you're going to have changes. You're going to have guys that are getting offers to Europe. You got some guys that have, been around. You might get some guys that get, American League deals and won't be back, potential retirement, everything. So I think it's just sifting through that first. But you never really shut off the brain. You obviously think about, first and foremost, players that we've seen around the league that might be free agents coming off American League deals. And we'll probably next week start to construct a list of who we might want to go after. And like I said, a lot of that's based on the information we get back from our players and their agents and what they're doing, and look at it, say, okay, we know this guy for sure is coming back. I've already had communications with Providence and Boston regarding some players that they have some interest in that might be on American League deals. So you really just start right away, to be honest. Like I said, I slipped up to my son's graduation on Wednesday, Thursday there, and now back home for went up to Maine real quick after that, and then back home now for a bit. Might slip back up to Maine, but most of it's all done via phone and email and text. But yeah, you start. It's funny. I watched a bit of the Wheeling, Florida game. I had to shut it off just because I'm like, what am I doing? I'm killing myself right now. But you just start thinking about next year, and you want to, when the players have that feeling too, you want to almost get right back at it. As much as you go through this grind and it's long and it's hard and guys are banged up, and when it stops, you're kind of like, I remember we were coming back from Wheeling. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have to open my computer and watch video and, break down anything. Like it's like a break. And then literally after day two, you're like, oh man, I wish we were still in that rat race with the way our schedule was. And you know, I think the players too feel that way. What our guys had to go through from a schedule standpoint and travel, just in those 14 games alone was crazy, and just a testament to you know, the character of the group.
Well, it was a great year for the Maine Mariners this year. Great year for you, your first year coaching in this franchise. It's been great having you on just about every week here over the course of the season and into a somewhat extended playoff run. I'm looking forward to these conversations again starting in October. October 17th is opening day for the Maine Mariners on the road. The home opener scheduled for October the 24th. That is a Saturday night. The full schedule is up at marinersofmaine.com for next year. Rick Kowalski, head coach and GM of the Maine Mariners, congratulations on a great first year. We're looking forward even more to year number two.
Well, I appreciate the support and talking with you guys every week, and enjoy the summer. And yeah, look forward to being back.
All right. Rick Kowalski, head coach and general manager of your Maine Mariners. We will be right back to conclude the Heidi's Brooklyn Deli Lunch Hour next on Middays with Mannix and Mannix.